Good morning. My name is Eric Vail, and I'm a member of the Public Worship Committee. And I wanted to welcome everybody this morning, whether it's your first time here or you've been here your whole life, which you typically hear on a Sunday morning. Melissa's away on vacation this week, hopefully enjoying some R&R and well-deserved so. It's my honor, my privilege to introduce a friend of Gates Presbyterian Church this morning, the Reverend Louise Armstrong. Many of you know Louise. She served as an intern with us some time ago. And you'll also find her in the pews from time to time, worshiping with us. So it's a real honor to have Louise back in the pulpit today. Also, at some point during the worship service, please pass the hospitality register, the green pad you'll see. This gives us an idea of who's here today. And also, it's a good way to look around you and see who's next to you. Maybe you don't know them. You see a name in the hospitality register. So introduce yourself to somebody if you don't know them around you. So, Louise, welcome.
Good morning, friends, and I really mean that, friends. The Lord be with you. We have some announcements this morning, at least one. Okay.
Hey, good morning, everyone. My name's Sherry. I'm part of the Personnel Committee. I was here last week with exciting news that we had hired Katie Yaza as a stated supply pastor. Again, for those of you who weren't here, this is not an interim pastor. This is not a associate pastor. This is a one-year contract position. So I'm now really excited to say we have an apartment for her. She will be living downtown in the Park Ave Monroe area, which is what she requested. And we'll be here on the 1st of September. She plans on making the Tuesday evening mega meeting, so you'll all get a chance to see her. So my request is if anybody is available on Monday the 1st, which would be Labor Day, sometime in the afternoon, we would probably love some help moving her. She will be coming. It's probably a 10 to 11 hour drive. It's a first floor apartment, if that helps. And they're big doors, if that helps. And I don't think she's got a lot of things because, again, they're bringing them. But if anyone's available, I think the best way we can do it is either find me or call me, and I'll kind of let people know. We don't know exactly what time she's getting here because of the drive. We're guessing late afternoon. So we're excited and to welcome her here. Thanks.
From the sound of the apartment, if anybody else is looking to move, Sherry's great at locating real estate. I'm tempted to muscle my way in before. If there are no other announcements this morning, let's gather our hearts and minds and prepare ourselves for the worship of God.
Thank you.
Let us be called to worship. We come, for God gathers us here. We come, for God welcomes us here. We come, for God reunites us here. We come, for God gives us hope here.
Maybe one you might want to consider to look at again following this sermon, since it would fit along in that period of time. But we do it now so that we have oneness with God and nothing is in the way, so we can hear the word of God during the sermon. Let us pray. Loving God, too often we overlook the needs of the people around us while we claim to follow you. Fail to see how our prison systems diminishes the humanity of all, how our medical system denies healing to the poor, how poverty leaves children without coats, how legal obstacles keep the strangers at distance. Open your eyes to see your presence in every person and to respond to their needs, so that we may be rightly called by your name. Amen. Please pray about things that the Holy Spirit has been dealing with you. Speaking through Ezekiel, God said, As shepherds seek out their flocks, when they are among their scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick gloom. God reaches out to us, longing to bring us even closer. The good news is we are forgiven and free. Amazing grace in music. The first reading of the scripture is from Ezekiel. Pardon? Children's talk. Boy, I'm excited. Well, I was just moved by the amazing grace. It wasn't amazing, and now it's amazing, Paula.
Little guy? I'm going to read you one of my favorite stories. It's called The Rainbow Fish. A long way out in the deep blue sea, there lived a fish, not just an ordinary fish, but the most beautiful fish in the entire ocean. His scales were every shade of blue and green and purple, with sparkly silver scales among them. The other fish were amazed at his beauty. They called him the Rainbow Fish. "Come on, Rainbow Fish," they would call. "Come and play with us." But the Rainbow Fish would just glide past, proud and silent, letting his scales shimmer. One day, a little blue fish followed after him. "Rainbow Fish," she called, "wait for me. Please give me one of your shiny scales. They are so wonderful, and you have so many." "You want me to give you one of my special scales? Who do you think you are?" cried the Rainbow Fish. "Get away from me." Shocked, the little blue fish swam away. He was so upset he told all his friends what had happened. From then on, no one would have anything to do with the Rainbow Fish. They turned away when he swam by.
Why that fishy was dead?
Because the Rainbow Fish didn't want to share.
Oh.
What good were the dazzling, shimmering scales when with no one to admire them? Now he was the loneliest fish in the entire ocean. One day he poured out his troubles to the starfish. I really am beautiful. Why doesn't anybody like me? I can't answer that for you, said the starfish. But if you go beyond the coral into a deep cave, you will find the wise octopus. Maybe she can help you. What do you think that octopus is going to tell him? The rainbow fish found the cave. It was very dark inside, and he couldn't see anything. Then suddenly, two eyes caught him in their glare, and the octopus emerged from the darkness. Do you see the eyes? Do you see the eyes? I've been waiting for you, said the octopus with a deep voice. The waves have told me your story. This is my advice. Give a glimmering scale to each of the other fish. You will no longer be the most beautiful fish in the sea, but you will discover how to be happy. I can't, the rainbow fish started to say, but the octopus had already disappeared into a dark cloud of ink. Give away my scales, my beautiful shining scales? Never. How could I ever be happy without them? He is pretty. He's absolutely beautiful. Suddenly, he felt the light touch of a fin. The little blue fish was back. Rainbow fish, please don't be angry. I just want one little scale. The rainbow fish wavered. Only one very, very small shimmering scale, he thought. Oh, maybe I wouldn't miss just once. I think he's a boy. Carefully, the rainbow fish pulled out the smallest scale and gave it to the little fish. Thank you very much, the little blue fish bubbled playfully as he tucked the shiny scale in among his blue ones. A rather peculiar feeling came over the rainbow fish. For a long time, he watched the little blue fish swim back and forth with his new shiny scale glittering in the water. The little blue fish whizzed through the ocean with his scale flashing, so it didn't take long before the rainbow fish was surrounded by the other fish. Everyone wanted a glittering scale. The rainbow fish shared his scales left and right, and the more he gave away, the more delighted he became. When the water around him filled with the glimmering scales, he at last felt at home among the other fish. Finally, the rainbow fish had only one shining scale left. His most prized possessions had been given away, yet he was very happy. Come on, rainbow fish, they called. Come and play with us. Here I come, said the rainbow fish, and happy as a splash, he swam off to join his friends. Oh, that's the last page. So you know what I think this story is telling us? That whatever God gives us, we should share with others. It makes them feel good, and it's going to make you feel good. Okay? And before you go back to your seat, I have a shiny sticker for you, okay? To remind you of the rainbow fish.
Thank you. Oh, you're forgetting me, but I'm being quiet.
We move from fish to sheep. We're going to talk about and learn about God, the true shepherd, from Ezekiel, the 34th chapter, starting with the 11th verse. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out, as shepherds seek out their flock when they are among their scattered sheep. So I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the water's courses and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you pushed with flank and shoulder and butted all at all the weak animals with your horns until you scattered them far and wide, I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be ravaged, and I will judge between sheep and sheep.
Our second reading moves on from sheep to sheep and goats. I don't know if we're going to have an influx through the pastures from outside, but who knows? Let's listen for the word of God in the Gospel of Matthew, the 25th chapter. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. Then he will say to those at his left hand, You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go out into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. May God grant to us a deepened understanding of this reading from God's Word.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, for you are our strength, and you are our Redeemer. Amen. I decided to preach after reading the newsletter, which Melissa was delighted to hear. Somebody read the newsletter and saw that she was doing the series on An Altar in the World, and Barbara Brown Taylor being one of my favorites. This was a book I had already read. And I took it because of a pet peeve. I'm going to say something about it and then say no more. There are churches that have a passing of the peace. And because I have now the freedom to worship in different churches, I have the experience of this custom in different places. One of the things I've noticed is somebody may take your hand as you put it out, but as I say, the peace of Christ be with you, the eyes are over my shoulder, and I realize I'm not the focus. That contact, that momentary contact, is what makes that moment real. That encountering. It's not a prelude to the coffee hour. It's a powerful thing we're saying to one another. The peace of Christ be with you. And the response, and also with you. Well, anyhow, you don't do that. So you're off the hook. But it just might apply in other places, in other occasions. Okay. Well, now that I'm retired, I realize that I have whole days that I can easily go without encountering another person in the flesh, despite what Phoebe and Tasha think of themselves. They are not people. They are four-legged. I might send emails or look at Facebook or pay bills online, but in my mind, those events don't count as encountering others. The UPS guy might marvel at the speed with which I get to the door on his occasional visits. Little does he know that late in the afternoon, he might be the first human interaction I've had in the day. You also know that UPS guys don't linger for chit-chat. It's not in the company DNA. Even when we go out, how often are we involved in true encounters of the sort Barbara Brown Taylor is writing about when she names encountering others as a spiritual practice? It is possible to do our shopping at Tops or Home Depot and use self-checkout. And gas pumps have been self-serve for even longer, making it almost difficult to have a human interaction. I haven't seen the inside of my ESL branch for months at a time. Thank goodness for the cashiers at Wegmans and Target. There are days when this kind of solitude may feel like a blessing, especially to introverts like myself. If human encounter can be stressful or awkward, maybe we're better off not meeting others. But I wonder. In a blog entry entitled "We Need Each Other," Marianne McKibben introduced me to a study that contained surprises for me. She recounted research into human behavior The investigation began with rail and bus commuters traveling into Chicago. Dozens of them were recruited into one of three conditions: either to engage in conversation with a stranger on the train, or to sit in solitude, or simply behave as they usually would. Afterwards, they mailed back a questionnaire in which they answered questions about the experience. Now, I'm going to ask you first, what do you think happened? Raise your hand if you think that those who engaged intentionally others in conversation were happier. How about those who maintained their solitude? Were they happier? How about those who behaved as they always did? Were they happier? Okay, you all read the article already. Or I set you up. The returned questionnaires showed it was those commuters who were instructed to strike up a conversation with a stranger who'd had the most positive experiences. Sitting in solitude was the least enjoyable, and behaving as normal scored in between. She also said we tend to avoid conversation because we think the other person won't want to engage. But the research showed that this was not the case. Study participants predicted that over 50% of strangers would likely rebuff their attempts to talk. In fact, this didn't occur for any of the participants who were instructed to chat to strangers in the earlier studies. Yes, we are happier when we chat with the postal clerk or the cashier at Wegmans or the person standing next to us in a line that doesn't seem to be going anywhere. The effort is well worth it for our own well-being as well as for theirs. Well, why? Barbara Brown Taylor really raises the spiritual stakes when she writes, "All you have to do is to recognize another you out there, your other self in the world, for whom you care as instinctively as you care for yourself. To become that person, even for a moment, is to understand what it means to die to yourself." And that is what Jesus is talking about when he talks about sorting the sheep and the goats. The standard is based upon how keen our vision and our spiritual imagination was in finding and recognizing ourselves out there in the world. It's not about "there but for the grace of God go I." It's about believing and acting as if, yes, by the grace of God, there go I. This makes every encounter powerful and spiritual. They're not throwaway moments, even though we too often risk living as if they are. To practice community is to live toward making the invisible selves visible. For nearly 2 weeks in Ferguson, Missouri, crowds of people have demonstrated in an effort to make the invisible visible. Clearly, some efforts were graceless, harmful, and even violent. But the community of Ferguson, the state of Missouri, and our nation have experienced the potential of making a whole dynamic of reality far more visible. It made me think a lot about an experience I had about a month ago. During the emphasis on the 50th year mark since the July 24th riots in Rochester. I took a walking tour of the Joseph Avenue neighborhood. I admit that I was in a part of the city I had not yet been in. I heard the stories and saw the businesses that survived the looting and the destruction wreaked by angry crowds. I learned that those businesses were the ones that practiced the power of truly encountering the other. The appearance of the neighborhood is a study in contrast. There are many vacant storefronts countered by stretches of lush green lawns. The lushness is a little deceptive, being that it's a product of our cool, wet summer. But the vacant areas are the consequences of many homes being torn down and not replaced. What had been the heart of a community was now only part community, a very irregular heartbeat. One of the guides on our walk said something that has been reverberating and even having chilling effects within me during the heat of the Ferguson crisis. He said it wouldn't take much for the riots to happen all over again. There hasn't been enough change to make a difference in the lives of our people. And yesterday, the Democrat and Chronicle let us know that the Rochester Police Department has one of those MRAPs, mine-resistant ambush-protected vehicle. The MRAP was brought out for the first time with the officers dressed in battle camouflage instead of the more familiar police uniforms. It was brought out for the occasion of the disturbances following the Puerto Rican festival. Its mere presence is credited for the response of the crowds to the instructions of the police to disperse. The message for me is that we are well past the time to meet what Rabbi Jonathan Sacks said is the supreme religious challenge to see God's image in one who is not in our image. On the Bill Moyers or Moyers and Company website, there is an essay entitled Six Vital Conversations Jump-Started on the Streets of Ferguson. I commend it to you. More from Barbara Brown Taylor. My religion teaches me that encountering another human being is as close to God as I may ever get. In the eye-to-eye thing, the person-to-person thing, which is where God's beloved has promised to show up. Paradoxically, the point is not to see Jesus. The point is to see the person standing right in front of me, who has no substitute, who can never be replaced, whose heart holds things for which there is no language, whose life is an unsolved mystery. Again from Rabbi Jonathan Sacks in a sobering lesson. The Hebrew Bible in one verse commands, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." But in no fewer than 36 places commands us to love the stranger. There are so many strangers out there, some of whom are hungry, thirsty, cold, sick, or imprisoned. all of whom are our points of contact with all that is holy in life. I mentioned that there are still businesses on Joseph Avenue that were not damaged or destroyed 50 years ago. They are the ones where the owners practiced encountering others. They are the ones who practiced true community. They respected their customers. They extended credit. They asked about the family. One who had survived the Holocaust knew what it was like to be an object of a violent prejudice, and so had a heart for the people of the neighborhood. He saw himself out there. We may need to start creating God's community here on earth by taking baby steps. The practice is one of authentic encounter, a practice away from which so much of our technology is driving us. Encounter begins with meeting the eyes of the invisible one. For a moment, the cashier, the teller, the maintenance worker. In that moment, the other's personhood has been authenticated with something as simple as a smile and a kind word. That's a start. But we know how much more is expected of us by our God if we are to find ourselves among the sheep and not the goats. Amen. come now to a time of sharing with others our petitions of concern and our gratitude to God. The usher will come to you with a microphone.
Marge Westfall, last week I asked for prayers for my granddaughter who was released from the hospital to come home to be built up so she could have another operation. She came home, fell, has a concussion, but she is doing fairly well now, but we still need your prayers. Thank you very much.
There's so much going on in the world around us that we have a lot to take to God in prayer, even if it has not been spoken aloud. So let us indeed gather our hearts and minds for prayer. Lord God, we do pray for those who are on our hearts, for need of care during illness, for strengthening of body and spirit. We thank you also that we can come to you grateful for the day, grateful for our lives, grateful for the encounters one with another that brings us the message, your message, that we are loved no matter what. We pray for the many whose lives are in turmoil, whose communities are in turmoil. We do pray that we might become more active in becoming a part of the solution and back away from being so much of the problem. And we pray for people around this great earth in so many different places that are being ravaged by violence and death. We pray for our Christian brothers and sisters who are experiencing true oppression, who are driven from their homes rather than go against their belief in our Lord and Savior. We pray for others not of our faith who also suffer violence. Is never an answer, but it comes too easily to us, and so we ask you, O God, to stay the hand of violence, to stay the words and the thoughts of violence, and replace them with the ways to peace. These and all our prayers we gather into your strong arms, and we know that those prayers unspoken are there as well. And we now join together in the prayer that your Son has taught us to say, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now let us come before God, returning to God a portion of what God has given us, so that others might know of that love of God and what we have seen in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let the morning offering be received.
Dear Good Shepherd, within your embrace we are safe and secure. Thus we are motivated as your flock to bring to you gifts and offerings from our hearts and lives. It is our prayer that these monies will be used wisely so that other sheep will be brought into your nurturing embrace of loving care and protection. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
go forth with a challenge, but we do not go forth alone. We go forth with our God and the confidence that that gives us, that first we are loved and the other whom we see in our encounters is that love looking back. The blessing of God, God who is our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer, be upon you, both now and forevermore. Amen.
I was there.